Hi out there, everybody, and happy holidays. This is John Chomo, your host for Then and Now, the podcast. This is episode number 44, and we're recording on Christmas Eve Day here, just FYI. Going to take a couple of days off and enjoy the holiday. But we'll do the facts for the week for December 27th through January 2nd, pushing into 2025 now. We'll take three topics on in our topic section. We'll go over last week's answers to the three good questions, and we have kind of an open-ended question this week from the one, the only, Bill Zierke. So let's get started. First of all, facts, birthdays, etc. for December 27th. On that date, 50 years ago, 1974, Archie Griffin of the Ohio State Buckeyes won the first of his two straight Heisman trophies. The Buckeyes were out in Pasadena getting ready to play in the Rose Bowl. Hey, history does repeat itself, doesn't it, sometimes? On December 27th, 1964, 60 years ago, the Cleveland Browns won the NFL championship game over the Baltimore Colts in an upset. The Colts were 13.5-point favorites. Lenny Moore, Johnny Unitas, Jimmy Orr, Raymond Berry, all those guys, Gino Marchetti. And the Browns took it to them and won up at Municipal Stadium 27-0. I did watch that game. We were back in West Virginia, my dad, mom, my sister, and I, for the holidays. And I watched a game at my cousin's house, and he bet me a nickel that the Colts would win, and I took him up on it. Me, all of, 6 years old. That was the first bet I ever won. I haven't done great or awful since, but remember that game, and unfortunately for us Browns fans, that is the last NFL championship game that the Browns have won. Frank Ryan hit Gary Collins for three touchdown passes. Lou Groza kicked two field goals, and the defense shut out Johnny Unitas and all those guys and the Colts. Haven't won since. And I'm not looking over the horizon at an NFL championship, let's put it that way. Okay, moving on. Birthdays. Actor John Amos, who died earlier this year, played Fitz in The West Wing, among many other roles, played on Good Times, played the dad of the family on Good Times. John Amos was born on December 27th, 1939. A couple of major, big-time men's basketball coaches in college basketball celebrate their 62nd birthday. They were born on the same exact day. Bill Self of the Kansas Jayhawks and Mark Few of the Gonzaga Bulldogs. They are both 62 on December 27th. The 2002 Heisman Trophy winner, Carson Palmer, quarterback of the Southern Cal Trojans, will be 45. 49ers current quarterback, Brock Purdy, will be 25. And he's been in the news lately. He's got a film coming out as I record this tomorrow. Timothée Chalamet. He'll be 29 years old on December 27th. His film, No Direction Home, will be out in theaters on Christmas Day. A biopic of sorts of the great Bob Dylan. I'm looking forward to seeing that one myself. Moving to December 28th, Vice President John C. Calhoun resigned the office on December 28th, 1832. He was angry over nullification issues regarding his home state of South Carolina. Iowa became the 29th state on December 28th, 1846. The greatest game ever played, quote-unquote, the game that thrust the NFL more into the national conscience, I think, than anything else, the 1958 NFL championship game played at Yankee Stadium between the then Baltimore Colts and the New York Giants. The game went overtime. It was one of the first ones that was really widely televised, and the country went wild over it. It was so dramatic and such a good game. That the NFL's popularity kind of took off from there. John Unitas led the Colts on an overtime drive, and Alan Ameche, the running back from Wisconsin, scored the winning touchdown as the Colts defeated the Giants in overtime 23-17. Birthdays include the 28th President of the United States, Woodrow Wilson, born in Stanton, Virginia, on December 28, 1856. Actor Denzel Washington, this makes me feel old, will be 70 on December 28th. Comedian Seth Meyers will be 51. John Legend, Springfield, Ohio native. Hey, what happened? Whatever happened, by the way, to all the people that are eating the cats and dogs in Springfield? That just kind of went silent since November 5th, didn't it? That's crazy. Anyway, John Legend will be 46. Two-time major golf champion from Germany, Martin Keimer, will be 40. Martin Keimer won his two majors at two courses that I've actually walked. He won the 2010 PGA Championship at Whistling Straits in Wisconsin, which I actually played 3 or 4 years ago. And he won the U.S. Open in 2014 at Pinehurst No. 2, where we attended and walked the grounds for a couple days this past June. So happy birthday to Martin Keimer. December 29th, Texas became the 28th State of the Union on that date in 1845. In 1890, U.S. soldiers in Colorado killed over 200 captive Sioux Native Americans in what became known, it was actually in South Dakota, my bad, in what became known as the Wounded Knee Massacre. That occurred on December 29th, 1890. It says here, John and Tammy had their first date on December 29th, 1979. That is true. We had our first date. I took her to see the movie, the Steve Martin film, The Jerk. My joke has always been I was trying to prepare her for a life with me. And then we went to Swenson's in Northwest Akron. So our first date, December 29th, 1979. They said it wouldn't last. Birthdays on that date. Charles Goodyear, the namesake of the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company, born December 29th, 1800. The 17th President of the United States, Andrew Johnson, born on that date in 1808. The late actress, Mary Tyler Moore, whose TV series in the 70s was really one of the all-time best. Mary Tyler Moore, now deceased, was born December 29, 1936. So was Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame linebacker Ray Nitschke. Boy, could you have two opposites there, huh? Ray Nitschke, born December 29, 1936. And actor Ted Danson, mostly known for his role as Sam Malone in Cheers, will be 77 on December 29th. December 30th saw the firing of Ohio State's greatest football coach, the great Woody Hayes. They fired him basically at the airport after the team came back from the Gator Bowl the night before, where Woody had punched a Clemson linebacker after the linebacker had intercepted a late-game pass, sealing the victory for Clemson over the Buckeyes. Woody reared back and punched him in the throat, and not even Woody Hayes could survive that, so he was fired. Eventually, Earl Bruce was named his replacement. Birthdays on December 30th. Boy, there are some very major ones here. Rudyard Kipling, the author, poet, born December 30th, 1865. The great Sandy Koufax. I've often said people, baseball fans love to ask these kind of questions. If you had one game to win, who would you put on the mound as your starting pitcher? There are a lot of good choices. My choice was always Sandy Koufax. Sandy Koufax will be 89 years old on December 30th. He still looks great. He's at a lot of the Dodger games. He was at a couple of the World Series games. He still looks fantastic. In a 5 or 6 year period in the early and mid 1960s, nobody was better than Sandy Koufax. That's my, I maintain that over the years. So happy birthday, Sandy. Two members of the singing group, originally TV group, singing group The Monkees, they unfortunately they are deceased. Mike Nesmith was born December 30th, 1942, and Davy Jones was born 3 years later, December 30th, 1945. They are both, unfortunately, no longer with us. Singer Patti Smith will be 78. Again, there's one that makes you feel a little older. Jeff Lynne, the head man of ELO, will be 77. And a couple of major figures from the sports world. Tiger Woods, and we'll talk more about him and his son Charlie here in a couple minutes. Tiger Woods will be 49 on December 30th. And Akron native LeBron James will be the big 4-0. It's rather remarkable to think LeBron James has been in the forefront of the American sports world for most of his 40 years, for a majority of his 40 years. It's unbelievable. Still playing for the Lakers, although there's a little bit of diminishment going on there. But what a career he's had, LeBron James. Okay. New Year's Eve, December 31st, the first ever time they dropped the ball off on the building in Times Square happened on December 31st, 1907. This next one, I'm just going to read it and not elaborate because I would break down probably. Roberto Clemente was killed in a plane crash in San Juan, Puerto Rico on New Year's Eve, 1972, trying to deliver aid to victims of the earthquake that had happened a couple of weeks earlier in Nicaragua. Moving on, Mario Lemieux, whose record for assists, by the way, for the Pittsburgh Penguins was tied last night as I record this by Sidney Crosby. Mario Lemieux scored goals in all five possible ways that you can score them in a hockey game. On New Year's Eve 1988, the Penguins beat the New Jersey Devils 8-6. Here are the five goals he scored, okay, and the manner in which he scored them. He scored one normal even strength goal when the teams were both at even strength. He scored a power play goal when the Penguins had a man advantage. He scored shorthanded when the Penguins were down a man. He scored on a penalty shot. And he scored an empty net goal at the end of the game. That's all five ways that you can score a goal in hockey. And he scored all those five ways in one game. The great Mario Lemieux. Boris Yeltsin resigned as the president of Russia on December 31st, 1999. Unfortunately, his successor turned out to be a guy named Vladimir Putin. The Browns lost on December 31st, 2017. Not that that's a bulletin or anything. They lost 28-24 at Pittsburgh. The historical note there is that finished their season 0 wins and 16 losses. The Browns went 0-16 in 2017. Lord Charles Cornwallis, a leader of the British force that surrendered at Yorktown to Washington's army, Cornwallis born December 31st, 1738. One of the unsung heroes of World War II. I always mentioned him. I wanted to mention him in class when we talked about World War II and afterwards when he was Secretary of State. George C. Marshall, born in Uniontown, Pennsylvania, just south of Pittsburgh, on December 31st, 1880. Marshall was so valuable to Franklin Roosevelt that he did not allow him to be sent over to command an army in either the Pacific or the European theaters. He was the strategy man. Roosevelt wanted Marshall by his side in Washington to map out and plan things. One of the indispensable heroes of World War II, for sure. Actor Sir Anthony Hopkins will be 87. Actor Ben Kingsley, both Oscar winners, will be 81. The late singer-songwriter John Denver was born December 31st, 1943. And the late disco singer Donna Summer was born December 31st, 1948. Moving on, January 1st, Happy New Year, everybody. President Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation January 1st, 1863. One of the great things any American president ever did. The first ever Rose Bowl game was played in Pasadena, California on January 1st, 1902. The Wolverines of Michigan defeated the Stanford team 49-0, the Cardinal, I guess they were known then as now. The first ever Orange Bowl game was played New Year's Day, 1935. Bucknell, not exactly a football power anymore, defeated Miami 26-0. The Cuban Revolution installed Fidel Castro as the new leader in that country. January 1st, 1959. The Beatles went to London and auditioned for the Decca Record Company on January 1st, 1962. They were rejected. The head guy at Decca said that he thought guitar groups were on their way out. I don't know of too many more massive mistakes you could make in your business than that one. How'd you like to be that guy a couple years later? Anyway, January 1st, 1971, cigarette ads were banned on television. There has not been a cigarette advertisement on American television since January 1st, 1971. Birthdays include Paul Revere, born in Boston, January 1st, 1735. Fellow patriot Betsy Ross, born January 1st, 1752. J. Edgar Hoover, the first and lifetime director of the FBI until he died in 1972. J. Edgar Hoover, born on January 1, 1895. The 1964 Republican presidential candidate, Barry Goldwater of Arizona, born in 1909. Hall of Famer from the Detroit Tigers, mostly, Hank Greenberg, born January 1, 1911. And the winner of the 1948 Heisman Trophy, Doak Walker of Southern Methodist University, born on January 1, 1927. Also, one more, former West Virginia University football coach Don Nealon, born on that date in 1936. Finally, this week, we move to January 2. Georgia became the fourth state by ratifying the Constitution on that date in 1788. President Nixon, 50 years ago, 51 years ago on January 2nd, imposed a 55 miles per hour maximum speed limit across the country. That was to conserve energy and save on oil use during the oil crisis that was happening then. That was in 1974. Just a couple of years ago, it's a scary moment, and all of us who saw it, Buffalo-Cincinnati game in Cincinnati was halted when Buffalo defensive back Damar Hamlin suffered cardiac arrest on the field during the Monday night telecast and had to be revived on the field by the Cincinnati paramedics. What a scary 45 minutes that was. Thank goodness he survived and he's back playing again. That part is inconsequential compared to him being alive. But I'm glad he gets to do what he does. And boy, that was really something. Great job by those paramedics, obviously. Helen Taft, First Lady in 1909 to 1913. Helen Taft, born January 2nd, 1861. One great note about Helen Taft. She is the one who had the famous cherry trees in Washington planted. If you've ever been to Washington, especially in the springtime, you know the cherry blossoms bloom around the tidal basin there and around the monuments, and it's really, really beautiful. Thank Helen Taft for that, by the way. Hall of Famer, mostly designated hitter, Edgar Martinez of the Seattle Mariners will be 61. And actor Cuba Gooding Jr. rounds out our birthdays this trip around. He'll be 57 on January 2nd. Okay, moving on to, I wrote down three topics to get to this week. One is Charlie Woods. I mentioned Tiger's birthdays coming up. Charlie Woods, Tiger Woods' son, I think he's 15. He was playing in the PNC father-son tournament over the weekend. And on the fourth hole on Sunday, dressed in Sunday red like his dad, he made a hole in one. It's his first ever hole in one. Congratulations to Charlie. And Tiger missed it. Tiger, as they walked to the fourth tee, Tiger took a little time out and went into the porta pot, I guess you'd say, quickly. He came out and said, "What's going on?" And they told him Charlie had made a hole in one. Everybody was kind of jumping around and everything. So they embraced, and he was happy like any father would be. Reminded Charlie that he had to buy the drinks in the clubhouse afterwards. And Charlie said, "Hey, I'm broke, Dad." I don't know that that's true, but it was a pretty neat moment. Congratulations to Charlie. Welcome to the club. Okay. People have asked me over the last year or so, I've been retired for just about exactly 1 year now, what do you do to keep your mind sharp, or, you know, as sharp as it can be? Some people would argue that I had a really sharp mind, but that's another story. My answer to that is one of the things I do is I try to do two or three crossword puzzles almost every day. And that sounds weird to you young folks out there, but you just wait. That I have gotten better at it. I have probably expanded my vocabulary by doing crossword puzzles. It's a great mind exercise. I enjoy them, and by golly, I'm going to keep doing them. So some of you folks, when you get to a more advanced age, I'm not going to call myself, decrepit or anything, but when it comes time and when you no longer have your work to turn to and so forth, try some crossword puzzles. It has worked very well for me, and I enjoy it. So there's this week's help tip for those of you that are 50 and over, I guess. Okay, finally, in the news, before we get to our questions here, I want to discuss former Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz, the Republican member from Florida who just stepped down a month or so ago. The House Ethics Committee report was released on Monday regarding Matt Gaetz's behavior, or I should say misbehavior. Here's what it said, okay, and this is the official report of the House of Representatives Ethics Committee. One, between 2017 and 2020, he paid tens of thousands of dollars to women, quote, likely in connection with sexual activity and or drug use, unquote. Point number two, one woman said she had sex with Gaetz at a party in 2017 when she was 17 years old. We all know what that means, right? People, statutory rape. And she received a $400 cash payment that she understood to be for the sex. He was 35 years old at the time. Number three, there is, quote, substantial evidence, quoting right from the report, that he used marijuana, cocaine, and ecstasy. The marijuana use, not as big of a thing now as it would have been 8 years ago or whatever, but cocaine and ecstasy, that's another story altogether. Point number four, he traded sex for favors, such as helping one woman that he had sex with to get a passport. Point number five, he impeded and obstructed the committee's investigation. Let's remember, this guy was Trump's choice to be the next Attorney General of the United States, the nation's leading law officer. If this is any indication of the quality of people, and I'm afraid it is, that President-to-be Trump would trust for such a position, then we're in trouble, folks. My thought is that Trump wanted to put him in as Attorney General so that he had some blackmail over him, that if he didn't do exactly as Trump said, Trump would have them release the report. Well, the report's out, whatever the case may be. Where would any of the rest of us be, I want to ask that question, if a government investigation yielded this evidence against any of us? I know where I'd be. I'd be in behind bars someplace, and that's probably where this guy should be. We'll see what happens. They kind of have a buddy system up there on Capitol Hill, but my goodness gracious, any normal citizen would be facing jail time, a trial and then jail time. But we'll see about Matt Gaetz. Anyway, that's just a disgusting episode, really, all around. Okay, enough of that. Let's get to three good questions here. First of all, if you have a question, if you have a comment of any kind about our podcast, please feel free to shoot us an email at threegoodquestions@gmail.com. That's three, T-H-R-E-E, goodquestions@gmail.com. The answers to last week's questions are as follows. Question number one was, what is the best-selling Christmas song of all time? Probably some of you know that one. The answer would be Bing Crosby's White Christmas. Question number two was, in total, how many gifts were given in the 12 Days of Christmas song? The total number of gifts, you math majors probably had this one, 364 is the correct number. Question number three was, what real person is Santa Claus based on and why? Imagine some of you knew the person's name, St. Nicholas. Why? St. Nicholas was admired for his piety and kindness, plus his secret gift-giving to people. That actually makes a lot of sense. So there's the answer. St. Nicholas is the answer, and that's why. That's a great find out for me. I didn't know that about him. All right, thanks to Jeff Cole for those again. This week's question is from, as I said, the one, the only, Bill Zirke. Here's his question. It involves the professional golf world. You think, me, I guess, that the LIV and PGA Tours will ever merge? LIV Golf, for those of you who don't follow it carefully enough, is the Saudi-funded alternative tour, if you will, headed till recently by Greg Norman, that poses a competitive threat, if you will, to the PGA Tour. Do I think that LIV and PGA Tour will ever merge? Well, first of all, on something like that, I think you have to say never. That could happen. I think what they'll come to is more of an arrangement where maybe there's two or three events every year where the LIV Golf guys and the PGA Tour guys, at least the top ones, come together and play. Right now, the only time those folks see each other in professional competition, if you will, is at the four major tournaments every year, the Masters, the PGA Championship in May, the U.S. Open in June, and the British Open, the Open Championship, if you will, in July. Those are really the only times that LIV golfers and PGA Tour golfers are competing on the same course at the same time. I think that'll change a little bit. Bill, I don't know about a merger, though. That would seem to be almost capitulation by one side or another, and I'm not sure either side is ready for that. Eventually, 10 years down the road, who knows what it'll look like. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see in the next couple of years two or three events dotted along the calendar where maybe the top 50 PGA guys and the top 20 LIV guys compete for something. That sort of thing wouldn't surprise me. I don't know. I have no inside knowledge whatsoever. I'm just a guy sitting here in front of a microphone hypothesizing. But that sort of thing, I think, could happen. I don't know about a full-fledged merger, though. I think that's a long way off. But thanks for the question, Bill. That was a great one. Made me think a lot. And that's always a good thing, right? So thanks. That ought to do it for this week, this episode of Then and Now. This is the last episode of 2024, I suppose. Probably the next time I take to the microphone will either be like New Year's Eve Day or January 2nd or something like that. So let me take this opportunity to wish you all happy holidays, Merry Christmas. And if I don't get to you before then, Happy New Year 2025. Let's hope it's a good one without any fear. Thanks. This is John Shomo. Have a great one. Happy holidays, everybody.